Welcome to visitors and guests. We are glad you're here with us this morning, and we do hope you feel welcome. At this time, I'd encourage you to look at the seat rack in front of you. We have Let's Get Acquainted cards there. If you have any questions about our church or would like to request more information, please fill one out and place it in the offering plate as it passes by later in worship. Members and visitors alike, I'd encourage to sign the friendship pads, which are scattered throughout the sanctuary. Please do sign them, your name, and pass them to your neighbors so you can greet any new faces by name during the peace or after worship. It is a special Sunday as we near the end of Lent. Today we mark Palm Sunday and retell the story of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem and the story of the Passion, thanks to the help of so many of you who will be voicing different parts later in worship. You'll see that this week the Passion story goes throughout our worship, and so you'll be hearing that story told through the different voices of members of our congregation. To continue to observe Holy Week, we will have our Maundy Thursday service this Thursday upstairs in Hollis Hall. It will be a Taze service for those of you who have been to those before at our church, or if you'd like to learn more about Taze, or if that's a new experience for you, there will be printed materials available, and you can always check on our website. We will join with our neighbors in Dalton at the Community Good Friday service. That will be 7 p.m. on Friday at the Wink Theater. So come as an expression of our church's worship with other churches in our community as we mark that important day in our faith. And of course, Easter will begin at the regular time next Sunday as we celebrate communion too. We look forward to these high holy days of our faith in the coming week. There is much to celebrate and be thankful for, and there is much going on besides, and so now I would open it up to any of you who have announcements to stand and share with the church. Thank you, Susan. Are there others? It is a joy to worship as we celebrate the coming of Jesus into the city of Jerusalem. So with great joy and celebration, let us worship God. Let us begin our worship by sharing a sign of Christ's peace. The peace of Christ be with you all. Let's share the peace of Christ with our neighbors. To turn off my mic, and it's such a habit. Please stand for the call to worship. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them,
"Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them immediately."
This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, 'Look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, in the foal of a donkey.'" And the disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." You may be seated. When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." Then Jesus entered the temple and drove out all who were selling and buying in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. He said to them,
"It is written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer,' but you are making it a den of robbers."
As we listen to the word of God, as we tell the story, let us be mindful of the ways that we have fallen short and so confess to God our sins first in silence. Let us pray. And together we pray. Gracious God, you bring joy as you enter into our lives as Jesus Christ, yet we plot to keep you out. When you challenge us, change us, call us to new life, we hold back. We prefer settled routines to discipleship. We try to follow, but not to your cross. Have mercy on us, Lord, and remove our sin. Transform us completely by your Spirit, so that we may live in hope of the new life you bring, through Jesus Christ, our crucified and risen Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Now I'd like to invite the children to come forward and join me on the steps for our time together in worship. The blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he cured them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the amazing things that he did, he heard the children crying out in the temple, "Hosanna to the Son of David!" They became angry with him and said,
"Do you hear what these are saying?"
Jesus said to them,
"Yes. Have you never read, 'Out of the mouths of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise for yourself?'"
He left them, went out of the city to Bethany, and spent the night there. You may be seated. As we prepare to hear God's word for us in the story of Jesus' passion, let us pray. Open our ears, open our hearts to your word, God of grace, that the story we tell would become the story we live in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Jesus said to his disciples,
"You know that after 2 days the Passover is coming, and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified."
Then the chief priests and the elders of the people gathered in the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and they conspired to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him. But they said,
"Not during the festival, or there may be a riot among the people."
Now while Jesus was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very costly ointment, and she poured it on his head, and he sat at table. When the disciples saw it, they were angry and said,
Why this waste? For this ointment could have been sold for a large sum, and the money given to the poor.
But Jesus, aware of this, said to them,
"Why do you trouble the woman? She has performed a good service for me. For you always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me. By pouring this ointment on my body, she has prepared me for burial. Truly I tell you, wherever this good news is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in remembrance of her."
Then one of the 12, who is called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said,
"What will you give me if I betray him to you?"
They paid him 30 pieces of silver. And from that moment, he began to look for an opportunity to betray him. On the first day of the unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying,
"Where do you want us to make the preparations for you to eat Passover?"
"Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is near. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.'"
So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover meal. When it was evening, he took his place with the 12, and while they were eating, he said,
"Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me."
And they became greatly distressed and began to say to him one after another,
"Surely not I, Lord.
Surely not I, Lord."
"The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that one not to have been born."
Judas, who betrayed him, said,
"Surely not I, Rabbi."
"You have said so."
While they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to the disciples, and said,
"Take, eat. This is my body."
Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying,
"Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will never again drink of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom."
When they had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them,
"You will all become deserters because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go ahead of you to Galilee."
Peter said to him,
"Though all become deserters because of you, I will never desert you."
"Truly I tell you, this very night, before the cock crows, you will deny me three times."
"Even though I must die with you, I will not deny you."
And so said all the disciples.
"Even though I must die with you, I will not deny you."
Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples,
"Sit here while I go over there and pray."
He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and agitated. Then he said to them,
"I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and stay awake with me."
And going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed,
"My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not what I want, but what you want."
Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter,
"So, could you not stay awake with me 1 hour? Stay awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak."
Again he went away for the second time and prayed,
"My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done."
Again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words,
"My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done.
Then he came to his disciples and said to them,
Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand.
While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now, but the betrayer had given them a sign, saying,
The one I will kiss is the man. Arrest him.
At once he came up to Jesus and said,
Greetings, Rabbi.
And he kissed him. Jesus said to him,
Friend, do what you're here to do.
Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and arrested him. Suddenly, one of those with Jesus put a hand on his sword, drew it, and struck the slave of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Then Jesus said to him,
Put your sword back into its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled, which say it must happen in this way?
At that hour, Jesus said to the crowds,
Have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as though I were a bandit? Day after day, I sat in the temple teaching. You did not arrest me. But all this has taken place so that the scriptures of the prophets may be fulfilled.
Be seated. Then all the disciples deserted him and fled. Those who had arrested Jesus took him to Caiaphas, the high priest, in whose house the scribes and the elders had gathered. But Peter was following him at a distance, as far as the courtyard of the high priest. And going inside, he sat with the guards in order to see how this would end. Now the chief priests and the whole council were looking for false testimony against Jesus, so that they might put him to death. But they found none, though many false witnesses came forward. At last, two came forward and said,
"This fellow said, 'I'm able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days.'"
The high priest stood up and said,
"Have you no answer? What is it that they testify against you?"
But Jesus was silent. Then the high priest said to him,
"I put you under oath before the living God. Tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God."
"You have said so. But I tell you, from now on, you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven."
Then the high priest tore his clothes and said,
"He has blasphemed. Why do we still need witnesses? You have now heard his blasphemy. What is your verdict?"
"He deserves death."
Then they spat in his face and struck him. And some slapped him, saying,
"Prophesy to us, you Messiah. Who is it that has struck you?"
Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. A servant girl came to him and said,
"You were also with Jesus the Galilean."
But he denied it before all of them, saying,
"I do not know what you are talking about."
When he went out to the porch, another servant girl saw him, and she said to the bystanders,
"This man was with Jesus of Nazareth."
Again, he denied it with an oath,
"I do not know the man."
After a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter,
"Certainly you are also one of them, for your accent betrays you."
Then he began to curse and swore an oath,
"I do not know the man."
At that moment, the cock crowed. Then Peter remembered what Jesus had said,
"Before the cock crows, you will deny me 3 times.
And he went out and wept bitterly. When morning came, all the chief priests and the elders of the people conferred together against Jesus in order to bring about his death. They bound him, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate the governor. When Judas, his betrayer, saw that Jesus was condemned, he repented and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders. He said,
"I have sinned by betraying innocent blood.
What is that to us? See to it yourself."
Throwing down the pieces of silver in the temple, he departed, and he went and hanged himself. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him,
"Are you the king of the Jews?"
"You say so."
But when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he did not answer. Then Pilate said to him,
"Do you not hear how many accusations they make against you?"
But he gave him no answer, not even to a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now at the festival, the governor was accustomed to release a prisoner for the crowd, anyone whom they wanted. At that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Jesus Barabbas. So after they had gathered, Pilate said to them,
"Whom do you want me to release for you, Jesus Barabbas or Jesus who is called the Messiah?"
For he realized that it was out of jealousy that they had handed him over. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him,
"Have nothing to do with that innocent man, for today I have suffered a great deal because of a dream about him."
Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus killed. The governor again said to them,
"Which of the two do you want me to release for you?"
And they said, "Barabbas."
"Then what should I do with Jesus who is called the Messiah?"
"Let him be crucified."
"Why? What evil has he done?"
But they shouted all the more, "Let him be crucified." So when Pilate saw that he could do nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took some water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying,
I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves.
Then the people as a whole answered, His blood be on us and on our children. So he released Barabbas for them. And after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole cohort around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on his head. They put a reed in his right hand and knelt before him and mocked him, saying,
Hail, King of the Jews!
They spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. After mocking him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. As they went out, they came upon a man from Cyrene called Simon. They compelled this man to carry his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull, they offered him wine to drink, mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his clothes among themselves by casting lots. Then they sat down there and kept watch over him. Over his head, they put the charge against him, which read, This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Then two bandits were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. And those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying,
You who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you were the Son of God, come down from the cross.
In the same way, the chief priests also, along with the scribes and elders, were mocking him, saying,
He saved others. He cannot save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross now, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now if he wants to. For he said, I am God's son.
The bandits who were crucified with him also taunted him in the same way. From noon on, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. At about 3:00, Jesus cried with a loud voice,
Eli, Eli, lima sabachthani.
That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? When some of the bystanders heard it, they said,
This man is calling for Elijah.
At once, one of them ran and got a sponge, filled it with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink. But the others said,
Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him.
Then Jesus cried again with a loud voice and breathed his last. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks were split, the tombs were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. After his resurrection, they came out of the tombs and entered the holy city and appeared to many. Now when the centurion and those who were with him, who were keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were terrified and said,
Truly, this man was God's son.
Many women were also there looking on from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee and had provided for him. Among them were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who was also a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him. So Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn in the rock. And then he rolled a great stone to the door of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there, sitting opposite the tomb. The next day, that is, after the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said,
Sir, we remember what that impostor said while he was still alive. After 3 days, I will rise again. Therefore, command the tomb to be secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may go and steal him away and tell the people, he has been raised from the dead. And the last deception would be worse than the first.
Pilate said to them,
"You have a guard of soldiers. Go, make it as secure as you can."
So they went with a guard and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone. Let us pray. Holy God, we follow your call. We enter into your story, hoping to find the way that leads to life. By the power of your Spirit, give us ears to hear again and eyes to see the way before us and hearts ready to walk wherever you lead. In Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. It was a couple of months ago, I think I heard that an earthquake rumbled through the area. Maybe you felt it, maybe you were asleep. It was a gentle one, so depending on where you were, you might have just thought it was a train coming through. And the only reason I heard anything about it was I got an email from my father the next day sharing a story. Back when I was in high school in Chattanooga, I learned that we're actually pretty close to a fault line here, which means we might get a little bit more seismic activity than other places. We're no California in that regard, but you may sometime experience what happened to me in high school when I woke up in the middle of the night with the bed shaking. And I was groggy enough in the night that it took me a minute to realize what had happened, and I had just always assumed that the ground beneath my feet was solid. It's just that the solids are on top of sliding plates and a cauldron of melting stone. It was a seismic event and a seismic world. And that word seismic comes from a similar sounding one in Greek, seismos. It's the word Matthew uses in our story today when Jesus arrives in Jerusalem. Jesus arrives in Jerusalem and the whole city is in turmoil, or rather, the whole city is shaking, like an earthquake has come through. Did you feel it? Something big is about to happen. Jesus has done nothing to calm the buzz. He arrived in a donkey to the praise of adoring crowds, recalling a prophecy from Zechariah that this is just the way the Messiah will come. And then he gets there, and the people wonder who he is. This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. No hopes dashed there. And then Jesus goes into the temple and drives out the money changers and the animal sellers, and people started to wonder, is it really happening? Is this it? Is this what we have been waiting for? Israel lived between two extremes. For 500 years, they had known nothing but division and defeat at the hands of their enemies. Great kings from long ago, like David and Solomon, protected the people and made the land safe for the worship of God. But their sons and grandsons were greedy, and the kingdom was divided and lost, and the people enslaved and exiled and conquered and reconquered. And at the same time, every Israelite knew, they just knew that they were a people favored by God. And so despite the hateful presence of an occupying power, in this case the Romans, they knew that God was coming again to turn things around. And it was going to be like the days of Solomon and David all over again. True worship in the temple, a return of families to their dispossessed land. All that they needed was one person, a leader, a Messiah, who would have the courage and the inspiration to lead them. Get this one thing, and it would be like God himself had returned to help them. This was Jesus, many thought. And so the whole city shook. Seismos. We know what it's like to feel that turmoil, that shaking sensation, like the world is moving beneath your feet and you don't have a good place to stand. And it's not just the ways that we feel that in our own lives, and sickness or sadness or maybe just a bad season. We know what it's like when the fundamentals of our lives and our worlds so dramatically turn that it feels like there's turmoil everywhere and the world is shaking. When children are shot in schools and have to become de facto protesters to protect themselves. And maybe the whole country was shaking with them yesterday. It's when political anger and dysfunction continue to be defining characteristics of the day, and friends and enemies of political powers alike are unsure what the next day will bring. Have you had a political conversation with someone you disagree with recently? Most of us haven't. Either you're in the middle of a screaming match, which isn't really a conversation, or you're just among like-minded friends and acquaintances. You can't even seem to be a political conversation because you're just on Facebook talking to the same people who agree with you. And even there, if you try not to be political, your life story is bought and sold and given to market research firms to continue this endless feedback loop of like-minded people disagreeing with a different group of like-minded people, all of whom are waiting for their own messiahs. And they know just what that messiah looks like. Maybe the world once seemed like a stable and predictable place. And there were challenges before, sure, but something today feels different. Like something important is happening. The whole city is in turmoil, shaking, asking, what is this strange new world we have entered? That this is a recurring issue throughout human history should be reassuring. Things change, and what was stable and eternal all of a sudden becomes transitory and novel, and everyone has to rediscover another piece of ground on which to stand. An important one of these moments happened years and years ago, 410 AD, the year the unthinkable happened. That was when the city of Rome, nicknamed the Eternal City, was conquered by an invading army. And Rome dated its founding some 1,000 years before, so think about this. This was the only time in 1,000 years of history and legend that anything like this had happened. The one bedrock, the one fact on which the rest of the known world was based, had fallen away. So people were disoriented and they looked for someone to blame. They remembered old prophecies and they started to wonder, this didn't happen in the good old days. This didn't happen when we worshiped the right gods, the gods of Rome. And so many Romans determined that Christianity was to blame. Here was an alien religion that had conquered an empire, and now the empire was weak and failing. And to answer this complaint, St. Augustine wrote a famous book called The City of God. He pointed out, one, problems like this have always existed, and two, those problems predated Christianity. So he compared the things that we think of as important to the work of an earthly city, power, prestige, and all the things that the Romans had lost, and that they did not lose these things because they were Christian. They lost them because they weren't really that Christian to begin with. They didn't try to become the heavenly city. For Augustine, the heavenly city was a place where victory is truth, dignity is holiness, peace is happiness, life is eternity. We miss those things when we strive to hold on to the vision of the thing we've already lost. What we need is imagination for something more. Augustine again, God is always trying to give us good things to us, but our hands are too full to receive them. So in our story today, Jerusalem forgot its Messiah quickly. Judas sold him for some silver. The people, some of whom welcomed him like a conqueror, condemned him as a criminal. They knew what the Messiah looked like and what he was supposed to do. This was no Messiah. He died like all the rest of them. Except then, when Jesus died, the earth shook again. Something was happening. Some of the people knew. The soldier confessed what he saw. And even those who taunted him may have had second thoughts. They were afraid. And the next time the earth would shake like this, it would be the morning of Easter. Something big was happening all over again. The tremulousness of these times, the seeming instability of the world, even the uncertainty in our own lives, all that we want in the midst of this instability is something solid to stand on. Often it's our belief about how the world should be. Often it's our ability to take care of ourselves, our good health, our work, our money. Often it's the people around us, and we think we can't imagine what the world would be like without them. Often it's the church. It's always been here. It will always be here. And all of these things start to shake like the rest. And maybe we don't know where solid ground is. All of these things we hold on to, they're just like stepping stones in a rushing river. And we spend our life jumping from one to the next, hoping we don't get swept away by the current, except that eventually we run out of stones. Because that way always leads to the cross. We run out of ways to make sense of our lives and our world. And it's only when we give those up that we have something we can really rely on. Illness, grief, fear of the world, many of those things cannot be fixed, except that we can rely on the one God who gives us a better way to live, even in the midst of those challenges. So we want to keep walking on those stones in the river. God wants to give us a boat if we'll only follow to the cross and let God do the rest. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. In response to the word of God, I invite you now to stand and join together in affirming our faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. In gratitude and in worship, let us return our gifts to God.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Let us join together in prayer. Holy God, you are before all things. You create the wonders that surround us in this world. You give us the breath of life. You plant us in the midst of your love. We come here today to say thanks. We are grateful for all we have received from your hand. We are grateful for the opportunity to share what we have been given, to offer your hope and love. Take these gifts that we bring and the offering of our hearts and use them to spread good news that you are a God for us and that in Jesus Christ you have come to bring us into your salvation. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, we celebrate your life as Jesus Christ. We remember how he rode into Jerusalem as a sign of your presence and peace. We ask that the spirit of joy which followed him would be ours as we worship today and as we worship this week. We pray for joy in our thanksgiving in this bright sanctuary, joy for the voices which tell your story, joy for the community knit together in your love, joy for the call you have given us to serve our neighbors, joy for the ways that you are present to us, joy for your promise, which is beyond death. Lord, in your mercy. We ask your presence for those seeking your healing and peace, for the children of this country looking for relief after trauma. May they find it in courage and conviction and the call to follow you. We ask your blessing on those who are sick, for Dick Lowry and Claudia Rivers King, for those recovering from surgery and those looking for your healing. We pray your presence for those who mourn and grieve, who doubt and fear. Give them the comfort and courage to follow Jesus, even to his cross. Lord, in your mercy. God, be with us in the week ahead as we tell your story again. We thank you for the quiet reflection of Maundy Thursday, for a time to sing and pray and share your holy meal. We thank you for the stark truth of Good Friday and the good news it hides. We thank you for the promise of Easter, for light shining before us, illuminating the way ahead. We pray for churches in our community as we tell the story together and pray that this week we would come together in celebration and learning and reflection of the ways you have called us to live together. Lord, in your mercy. These and all our prayers we offer through Jesus Christ our Lord. We remember his passion, his promise, and the assurance that he is with us in his spirit, teaching us to pray as he taught his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
When the world trembles, when we tremble, stand on the solid rock of Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and from ages to ages. So go into the world following Christ, and may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.